The Empire is gone, Mando.
Previously on The Mandalorian.
This asset was of extreme importance to me. I had to ensure its delivery.
He's not a local warlord. He's Imperial.
I'm in.
Our secrecy is our survival. Our survival is our strength.
Our strength was once in our numbers. Now we live in the shadows. Our world was shattered by the Empire.
The Mandalorian's brethren come to his aid in his fight against the Guild Hunters.
You're going to have to relocate the covert.
This is the way.
In the wake of your destruction, he was left behind.
Is it still a hunter?
No, but it will protect.
You got a real thing for droids, don't you?
I got a real thing for that droid.
Let me take the child to him.
Let's just kill him and get out of here.
We both need the client to be eliminated.
That's right. As long as the imp lives, he'll send hunters after the child.
It's a trap.
Have they brought the child?
Yes, they have.
The Imperial forces gun down their own men inside the public house.
You have something I want.
Quill! Are you there?
Scout troopers chase down the Ugnaught.
In a few moments.
They snatch the child.
Quill! Are you there?
It will be mine.
Clouds blanket the sky above the smoky lava fields of Navarro. Two speed bikers appear on the horizon and approach rapidly, driven by the scout troopers. One of the riders wears a pack strapped across his torso. The child peeks out from inside at the other trooper, who glances over at it through his scoped helmet. The two riders swing their bikes around to a stop on a muddy ridge, which affords a view of the town in the distance. One raises a comlink to his helmet's vocoder.
Speeder bikes have arrived at the checkpoint with the asset waiting confirmation.
He punches the squirming pack.
Knock it off. Waiting for confirmation to continue into town.
That's a go to proceed, but I advise you to double check. The Moth just touched down and already took out a squad of local troopers.
Standing by.
He shakes his head as he sets down his comm.
Did he just say that Gideon killed his own men?
Oh, who knows? These guys like to lay down the law when they first arrive in a town, you know. You know how it is.
He gives the pack another punch.
I said, shut up. Eesh. What is that thing, anyway? I don't know. Maybe Moth wants to eat it. I don't ask questions. Can I see it? Did you not just hear that Moff Gideon killed a dozen of his own troopers just to make a point?
Okay.
I get that point. Do you get the point?
Yes, I get the point.
Okay.
His partner takes out his compact blaster and begins taking shots at a piece of junk lying in the dirt. He misses every time. The other trooper gives him a look, then takes out his own pistol and joins in, but fares no better. He gives his blaster a shake by his helmet's earpiece. His partner shrugs as they share a look.
Should we offer that thing some water?
You just want to look at it.
So what? You got to see it.
Barely. I mean, I grabbed it up off the ground and I stuffed it in this sack.
It's more than I got to see it.
Look, I'm not taking it out of this bag until I deliver it to the Moth.
Fine.
Okay. Stop asking.
Both of them shift restlessly. The one with the pack climbs off his bike.
Check on this thing. This is crazy. Any update yet?
That's a negative. Still waiting on confirmation. He just killed an officer for interrupting him, so this might take a while.
Thank you. Standing by still. Great. Unbelievable.
Hey, how long has it been since that thing moved?
I don't know, like a minute or two. Don't worry.
It's been way longer than a minute.
Oh, my God.
Shouldn't we check and see if it's still alive? You hit it pretty hard.
You just want to see it.
Well, we should check and see if it's hurt. The last thing that you want is to give Gideon a bag and have him open it up and find whatever is
okay,
left.
Okay, look, here you go. See? Take a peek. Everything's fine.
What is that?
I don't know, it's a pet or something.
A pet?
Wait, ow!
The child bites him and he gives the pack a punch.
Serves you right.
A droid strides up.
Stop that.
Identify yourself.
I am IG-11. I am this child's nurse droid, and require that you remind him to me immediately.
A nurse droid? I thought it was a hunter. Aren't IGs usually hunters? Well, evidently this one's a nurse.
IG-11 keeps approaching.
I'm sorry, nurse, but you're gonna have to get out of here.
Are you refusing my request?
No. I'm telling you to get out of here.
The droid breaks his arm and flips him to the ground, then rotates 180 degrees, picks the other one up by his helmet, and slams his head onto his speeder bike until he goes limp. IG-11 climbs aboard the bike with the child. One of his mechanical claws taps a button to start it up.
That was unpleasant. I'm sorry you had to see that.
With the pack nestled safely in his lap, the droid speeds off. A title appears over black. The Mandalorian. Chapter 8, Redemption. In town, the caped figure of Moff Gideon stands facing the public house, flanked by his army of troopers. Hunkered down inside, Cara Dune, the Mandalorian, and the guild leader all peek out at the impenetrable force that awaits them.
Is there another way out?
No, that's it.
What about the sewers?
Sewers?
The Mandalorians have a covert down in the sewers. If we can get down there, they can help us escape.
Sewers are good.
Checking for access points.
He taps on his wrist plate.
What the hell are they waiting for?
Four stormtroopers set down a hefty white shell case and open it to reveal an E-Web cannon. Other teams carry in a tripod and a power unit. As they enter the square, Kara catches sight of them from inside.
Hold up.
They plant the tripod in the black volcanic dirt and begin assembling the laser cannon on top.
They're setting up an E-Web.
It's over.
The Mandalorian's enhanced vision spies a void behind a lounge bench.
I found the sewer vent.
Let's get the hell out of here.
The guild leader keeps watch on the progress outside while the other two scramble to the back wall and begin to pull apart the ceiling. Kara and the Mandalorian uncover a heavy metal grate near the floor. They both pull at it. Outside, the cannon gets plugged into its power unit. A stormtrooper pivots the barrel to take aim at the public house.
It's assembled! How long until that thing's cleared?
Blow it.
I'm out of charges.
Get out of the way!
She unloads on the grate with her drum blaster. Outside, Moff Gideon stands waiting with his arms akimbo. Kara gives the grate a kick, but it still doesn't budge.
Your astute panic suggests that you understand your situation. I would prefer to avoid any further violence and encourage a moment of consideration. Members of my escort have completed assembly of an E-Web heavy repeating blaster. If you are unfamiliar with this weapon, I am sure that Republican shock trooper Caracynthia Dune of Alderaan will advise you that she has witnessed many of her ranks vaporized mid-descent, facing the predecessor of this particular model.
She gives a stunned look to her two comrades.
Or perhaps the decommissioned Mandalorian hunter, Din Djarin, has heard the songs of the Siege of Mandalore, when gunships outfitted with similar ordnance laid waste to fields of Mandalorian recruits in the night of a thousand tears. I advise Disgrace Magistrate Greef Karga to search the wisdom of his years and urge you to lay down your arms and come outside. The structure you are trapped in will be raised in short order, and your storied lives will come to an unceremonious end.
Moff Gideon gazes at the slender gap of the blown-out window.
What do you propose?
Reasonable negotiation.
What assurance do you offer?
If you're asking if you can trust me, you cannot. Just as you betrayed our business arrangement, I would gladly break any promise and watch you die in my hand. The assurance I give is this: I will act in my own self-interest, which at this time involves your cooperation and benefit.
His cape flapping in the wind, he looks up at the afternoon sun.
I will give you until nightfall, and then I will have the E-Web cannon open fire.
He turns on his heel and promptly marches off, followed by a few of his death troopers. Greef Karga turns to the others.
I say we hear him out.
The minute we open that door, we're dead.
We're dead if we don't.
At least out there we've got a shot.
That's easy for you to say. I'm a rebel shock trooper. They'll upload me to a mind flayer.
Those aren't real. That was just wartime propaganda.
Well, I don't care to find out. I'm shooting my way out of here.
What about you, Mando?
I know who he is. It's Moff Gideon.
No. Moff Gideon was executed for war crimes.
It's him. He knew my name.
So, what does that prove?
I haven't heard that name spoken since I was a child.
On Mandalore?
I was not born on Mandalore.
But you're a Mandalorian.
Mandalorian isn't a race.
It's a creed.
In a flashback, the child, Din Djarin, clings to his father as he's carried through the bombardment of their town. He watches civilians scramble through the streets to escape the explosions that rain down on them from above. A gunship swoops through a cloud of black smoke and makes a low pass, strafing the panicked villagers. Bodies are thrown to the ground amid bursts of shrapnel. Din's mother runs alongside her family, desperately holding onto them. Up ahead, a battle droid blasts its way out from a building. As his family changes course down an intersecting street, Din watches laser bolts come flying past his unarmed neighbors. His mother gestures to something through the smoke and haze. As the family rushes in that direction, a wall close behind them blows open in an eruption of debris. Din watches a battle droid come out and pick off civilians indiscriminately. His family runs for a cellar door at the far end of the dirt road. Setting the boy down, his father pulls open the metal doors over the hatch. His wife holds their son close, her hand stroking his red hood and his mop of dark bangs. Din's father looks down into the cramped supply cellar, then glances back at the carnage behind them. Silhouetted by flaring sunlight, the parents hug their son goodbye. The boy's father speaks to him emotionally and kisses him on the forehead. Din climbs down through the hatch. His mother utters a few last words to him, her features obscured by the harsh sunlight at her back. Clad in his hooded cloak, Din takes a seat beside a padded crate and looks up at his parents. He reaches out to them as they fold the two sides of the hatch closed, enshrouding him in darkness. An explosion rocks the loose doors, causing him to recoil. Through a crack, he sees a figure eclipsing the sunlight. Its shadow sweeps up his panicked young face, cloaking him in darkness again. A battle droid throws open the hatch and aims its arm cannon inside. As Din squeezes his eyes shut, a barrage of blaster fire suddenly takes out the droid. The boy tentatively reopens his eyes and looks up to see a blurry, helmeted shape approaching the rim of the portal. The figure's shadow falls across him, cowering inside the cellar. An armored Mandalorian silhouette sharpens into focus, reaching out its gloved hand. Din hesitates fearfully. Gently beckoned forward by the outstretched hand, the boy picks himself up off the cellar floor and takes a hold. The strong warrior lifts him out of the hatch. Setting him down on the street, the Mandalorian crouches reassuringly to his eye level. The boy watches a jetpack squad descend upon the town, fighting back against its marauders. One of the armored warriors lands behind a droid and dispatches it with three quick blasts before it even has time to react. The boy watches, mesmerized, as the town's defenders continue to fly directly into the heat of battle. One gestures an order to the warrior crouched beside Din, who nods in confirmation. As his savior faces him, the boy stares into his opaque T-shaped visor and nods understandingly. The Mandalorian lifts him into his arms. Holding him protectively, he takes a few steps through the firefight, then takes off vertically into the air. The boy watches over his savior's shoulder as the battle-ridden town recedes below them.
I was a foundling. They raised me in the Fighting Corps. I was treated as one of their own. When I came of age, I was sworn to the Creed. The only record of my family name was in the registers of Mandalore. Moff Gideon was an ISB officer during the Purge. That's how I know it's him.
That's how he knows who we all are.
He says he needs us, which means the child got away safely. I was worried when the Ugnaught didn't respond, but if they'd captured the kid, we'd already be dead.
Hail them again.
Grief takes a drink as the Mandalorian pulls out his comlink.
Come in, Queel. Queel. Nothing.
They might have jammed the link.
On the other end, the child peers out from the pack in IG-11's lap.
Queel has been terminated.
What did you do?
I am fulfilling my base function.
Which is?
to nurse and protect.
He picks up speed and streaks across the vaporous lava flats, headed for town. A few troopers guarding the gateway take notice and open fire, but IG-11 makes quick work of them with his bike's laser cannon. Zipping into the city, he sets the throttle, then draws a blaster in each hand and picks off more troopers as he passes them. He weaves down the streets, catching the Imperials off guard. At the public house, Kara peeks out from her cover. A stormtrooper cocks his head. Kara sees the entire battalion turning away. Elsewhere, two stormtroopers hassle a Jawa. Laser bolts pick off the duo as a blur of metal rips by. The troops in the square reposition to address the oncoming threat. Kara sees a ripple of explosions approaching. The Mandalorian rushes over to her, while Greef quickly downs another drink. They observe the commotion in the square. IG-11 raises both of his blasters, his sensor panels rotating on his head. As the stormtroopers open fire, he swivels his armored trunk to shield the child and hinges his arms to face forward again. He dismounts, sending the speeder bike crashing into the Imperial ranks. With mechanical precision, he begins shooting his enemies one by one. Kara swings herself up onto the bar and lays down automatic fire with her drum blaster. Stormtroopers go down left and right. The Mandalorian exits the public house and swiftly overcomes several foes. Greef joins the fray behind him with pistols blazing. The Mandalorian takes on the black-armored Death Troopers, shooting one down while getting thrown to the ground by another, whom he then kicks away. A stormtrooper gets hit and goes down in a puff of smoke. Others pepper IG-11's armored trunk with blaster fire and drop him to his knees. The Mandalorian finds the E-Web unattended and hefts the cannon off its tripod. He opens fire, mowing down the lines of stormtroopers and sending them crumpling to the ground. While Kara unleashes another barrage from her drum blaster, a number of the enemy close in around the entrance to the public house. A Death Trooper sets a charge on the steel door. The E-Web's muzzle flashes steadily as it fires around the square like a Gatling gun. Meanwhile, lights blink on the activated charge. The door blows in, knocking Kara off the bar. Two Death Troopers stalk inside. Keeping low, Kara scrambles for cover. The Death Troopers spot her and open fire. Outside, Moff Gideon calmly walks through the battlefield, watching the Mandalorian lay waste to his army. Back inside, Kara is pinned down behind the bar. Getting a handle on her drum blaster, she waits for the right moment, then pivots out into the open and mows down both of her assailants. Outside, Moff Gideon fires a pistol into the back of the Mandalorian's neck. He loses his grip on the E-Web. As he turns to face his attacker, Moff Gideon lines up another shot, then lowers his aim to the tethered power module. The explosion sends the Mandalorian flying through the air and landing flat on his back. The Death Troopers regroup behind their leader. Through the smoke, Greef sees IG-11 still on the attack. Kara runs out onto the battlefield and sits up the immobilized Mandalorian. Greef rushes over to provide her cover as she drags their injured ally back toward the public house. Together with IG-11, they all retreat inside and the door closes behind them. Moff Gideon sneers.
Burn them out.
One of his Death Troopers steps forward. Inside.
Stay with me, buddy. We're gonna get you out of here.
This is our only path out. Can you clear it?
IG-11 sets down the pack containing the child next to Greef.
Stay with me.
If you go near this child, I will have no choice but to kill you.
I understand. Can you do anything to move the grate?
Yes, of course.
He gets to work on the grate with a built-in plasma cutter.
Oh, I love IG units.
I'm not gonna make it. Go.
Shut up. You just got your bell rung. You'll be fine.
Leave me.
She withdraws her hand from the back of his helmet and finds it covered in blood.
I'm gonna need to take this thing off.
No. He leave me. He makes sure the child is safe. Here.
He pulls off a mythosaur pendant from inside his collar.
When you get to the Mandalorian covert, you show them that. You tell them it's from Din Djarin. You tell them the foundling was in my protection. And they'll help you.
We can make it.
Outside, a stormtrooper emerges from the smoky haze to reveal his specialized armor with a red stripe down his helmet. He sparks up a flamethrower.
Come on, let's go.
I'm not gonna make it, and you know it.
A wall of fire bursts through the window. Outside, the incinerator trooper blasts his flamethrower in a steady stream, then stops and moves toward the main entrance. Inside, the fire spreads around dead stormtroopers that litter the floor and tables. Kara shields the Mandalorian.
You protect the child. I can hold them back long enough for you to escape. Let me have a warrior's death.
I won't leave you.
This is the way.
While she stares at him despondently, a fresh blast of flame shoots in from the entrance. Kara and Greave share a grave look. The child sees the incinerator trooper stepping in through the doorway. He aims his flamethrower at the group huddled across the establishment. The child narrows his eyes and raises his hands as the trooper unleashes a monstrous trail of fire right in his direction. Kara looks up to see what's happening. With the fire reflected in his visor, the Mandalorian weakly lifts his head and finds the flames curling around the child, who remains unharmed. The infant serenely opens his eyes and flicks his wrist. The inferno recedes back in on the incinerator trooper, who goes flying out of the building in a fiery blast. In its wake, most of the public house is left ablaze. The child conks out exhaustedly. IG-11 kicks open the cut grate.
Come on! It's open, let's go!
The rafters begin to succumb to the fire.
Go.
We have to move! Now!
The droid collects the child.
Go.
IG-11 hands him to Kara.
Escape will protect this child. I will stay with the Mandalorian.
She grabs her drum blaster.
Promise me you'll bring him.
You have my word.
Kara takes one last look at the Mandalorian, then hurries after Greef through the vent. With just the two of them left in the tavern, IG-11 crouches to the badly injured bounty hunter and pivots his sensors to watch the fire spread.
Do it.
Do what?
Just get it over with. I'd rather you kill me than some imp.
I told you, I am no longer a hunter. I am a nurse droid.
IGs are all hunters.
Not this one. I was reprogrammed. I need to remove your helmet if I am to save you.
As the droid reaches out to it, the Mandalorian raises his blaster.
Try it and I'll kill you.
IG-11's sensors look him up and down.
It is forbidden. No living thing has seen me without my helmet since I swore the creed.
I am not a living thing.
He proceeds to unlatch the Mandalorian's helmet. He lifts it away to reveal the blood-streaked adult face of Din Djarin.
This is a Bacta spray. It will heal you in a matter of hours. You have suffered damage to your central processing unit.
He administers the medicine in a fine mist.
You mean my brain?
That was a joke. It is meant to put you at ease.
Meanwhile, the others navigate the dark sewers with a hand lamp. They turn back to find a light following them. IG-11 steps into view, helping the Mandalorian walk on his own two feet. The others backtrack to meet up with them. Kara hands the child to IG-11 and takes over supporting the Mandalorian.
I got you.
His helmet lamp lights the way. Greef holds him by the other arm, and together, he and Kara walk the Mandalorian through the sewers. Slanted skylights offer them scant sources of light as they reach a large junction in the tunnels.
Do you know which way to go?
No. I don't know these tunnels. I've only entered from the bazaar.
They keep moving.
Well, if we get the smell of sulfur and we follow it, it'll lead us up to the plains where the river flows.
The imps will catch us before we make it to the ship. We need the Mandalorians to escort us to safety.
They turn from a cavernous main tunnel into a smaller side corridor.
Ugh, this place is a maze.
Stop.
The others let go of him.
I can stand.
The Bacta infusion is working.
I'll try to find tracks.
He sweeps his helmet light around.
We're close.
The others follow his lead.
Turn here.
They enter a large Quonset hut-shaped chamber with items strewn haphazardly around raised platforms along its sides. As his helmet light locates something up ahead, the bounty hunter comes to a stop. He stares at a huge pile of Mandalorian helmets and armor left behind on the floor. Switching off his light, he hesitates for a few moments before venturing closer. A shaft of sunlight from above highlights the heaped remnants of the Mandalorian community. The others keep a respectful distance as the bounty hunter kneels down to the pile. He lifts up a helmet and turns it in his hands to examine its scratched and tarnished Beskar steel. Kara approaches and leans down to him.
We should go.
You go. Take the ship. I can't leave it this way. Did you know about this? Is this the work of your bounty hunters?
No. When you left the system and took the prize, the fighting ended, and the hunters just melted away. You know how it is. They're mercenaries. They're not zealots.
Did you do this? Did you?
No!
It was not his fault.
The armorer steps in.
We revealed ourselves. We knew what could happen if we left the covert. The Imperials arrived shortly thereafter. This is what resulted.
Did any survive?
I hope so. Some may have escaped off-world.
She collects some of the armor.
Come with us.
No. I will not abandon this place until I have salvaged what remains.
She pushes a floating cart out of the chamber. As the bounty hunter heads after her, the others swap a look and fall in step behind them. Greef draws back his frock to get a cautious grip on his holstered blaster. In the forging area, the armorer stops her cart beside the circular furnace. Using her tongs, she feeds a Beskar plate through the shafts of pressurized mist into a smelting crucible at the center.
Show me the one whose safety deemed such destruction.
IG-11 opens the flap on the pack.
This is the one.
This is the one that you hunted, then saved?
Yes. The one that saved me as well.
From the Mudhorn?
Yes.
It looks helpless.
It's injured, but it is not helpless. Its species can move objects with its mind.
I know of such things. The songs of eons past tell of battles between Mandalore the Great and an order of sorcerers called Jedi that fought with such powers.
It is an enemy?
No. Its kind were enemies, but this individual is not.
What is it?
It is a foundling.
Her tool chest opens.
By creed, it is in your care.
You wish me to train this thing?
It is too weak. It would die. You have no choice. You must reunite it with its own kind.
Where?
This you must determine.
You expect me to search the galaxy for the home of this creature and deliver it to a race of enemy sorcerers?
This is the way.
She begins hammering the molten Beskar into shape.
Hey. These tunnels will be lousy with imps in a matter of minutes. We should at least discuss an escape plan.
If you follow the descending tunnel, it will lead you to the underground river. It flows downstream toward the lava flats.
I think we should go.
I'm staying. I need to help her and I need to heal.
You must go. A foundling is in your care. By creed, until it is of age or reunited with its own kind, you are as its father.
She cools the steel in a bath.
This is the way.
She turns to face the bounty hunter.
You have earned your signet.
He stands up straighter as she brings it to him. Stepping around to the side of his armor, she attaches the signet to his shoulder pauldron with a welding tool, causing sparks to spray into the air. She withdraws the tool and eyes her finished work.
You are a clan of two.
The panel depicts a Mudhorn skull.
Thank you. I will wear this with honor.
Meanwhile, stormtroopers blow up a wall and flood into the main chamber. They sweep the tunnels with their blaster lights. Back with the others.
We should go.
IG, please guard the outer hallway. A scouting party draws near.
IG-11 hands Kara the child.
Hang on. I don't
The droid marches out.
I have one more gift for your journey. Have you trained in the Rising Phoenix?
When I was a boy, yes.
And this will make you complete.
She presents him with a jetpack.
Thank you.
When you have healed, you will begin your drills. Until you know it, it will not listen to your commands.
I understand.
Kara draws her gun. As they all eye the doorway, IG-11 steps back into view.
You are protected.
More will come. You must go.
Come with us.
My place is here. Restock your munitions. IG, carry this for Din Djarin until he is well enough to wear it.
She hands him the jetpack.
Now go. Down to the river and across the plains. Be safe on your journey.
Thank you.
He draws his sidearm and follows the others out. Staying behind by herself, the armorer steps before her furnace and stares after them. The Mandalorian rejoins his party as they move swiftly through the corridors. Back in the forging area, the armorer kneels stoically in front of her ignited furnace. Stormtroopers flood into the room, surrounding the meditative figure. She holds a pair of her tools crisscrossed at her chest.
Hey, Mando. Where are they? I said, where are they?
He pokes her in the helmet with his blaster. She swiftly wheels to her feet and unleashes a flurry of crushing swings with her hammer and tongs, sending one trooper flying into the furnace. Breaking another one's arm, she directs his gunfire into a squadmate, then uses him as a shield against an incoming blast. She disarms and clubs into submission all the remaining troopers, then turns to face the doorway, ready for more. Meanwhile, the team arrives at an archway leading to a wide channel that flows with lava.
This is the lava river.
They pass through the portal into the high-arching tunnel. Along the riverbank rests a beached, carbon-encrusted boat.
The ferry droid is fried.
Yeah, but we pushed the boat out. We can get it to float downstream. Come on.
Looks old. Will it take the heat?
You got a better idea?
Guess not.
The two of them put their weight into trying to move the stuck vessel.
Push!
The Mandalorian gives it a kick.
Come on, what are you doing?
Let's try this.
Push!
He tries using a pole as a lever. Kara brandishes her drum blaster.
You guys mind getting out of the way?
She peppers the cooled lava around the base of the ferry boat with laser fire.
Good job.
As it floats free, they all climb in.
Watch your feet, it's molten lava.
No kidding.
Lights flicker from the back of the boat. The warriors wheel around with their blasters to find the calcified astromech droid blinking to life and breaking free of its ashen husk. It rises to reveal its cylindrical body equipped with mechanical legs and arms, which wield a long, insulated pole.
I don't suppose anybody here speaks droid.
I believe he is asking where we would like to go.
Downriver, to the lava flats.
As the droid pulls them ahead, they put away their blasters. The boat ferries slowly down the infernal tunnel, passing through pockets of sunlight from cracks in the ceiling. From along the crusty banks, black meerkats follow the boat's progress with their eyes aglow. Greef points to a light at the end of the tunnel.
That's it! We're free!
With his Mando vision, the helmeted bounty hunter sees a large number of heat signatures waiting just outside.
No. No, we're not. Stormtroopers. They're flanking the mouth of the tunnel. It looks like an entire platoon. They must know we're coming.
Stop the boat. Hey, droid! I said stop the boat!
The droid keeps pulling them forward.
Hey, I'm talking to you! I said stop!
Kara blasts off its domed head.
We're still moving.
Looks like we fight.
There are too many.
Well, then what do you suggest? Because I can't surrender.
They will not be satisfied with anything less than the child. This is unacceptable. I will eliminate the enemy, and you will escape.
You don't have that kind of firepower, pal. You wouldn't even get to daylight.
That is not my objective.
We're getting close. Saddle up.
I still have the security protocols from my manufacturer. If my designs are compromised, I must self-destruct.
What are you talking about?
I'm not permitted to be captured. I must be destroyed.
Are we gonna keep talking, or are we gonna get out of here?
I can no longer carry this for you.
He puts down the jetpack.
Nor can I watch over the child.
Wait, you can't self-destruct. Your base command is to watch the child. That supersedes your manufacturer's protocol, right? Right?
This is correct.
Good. Now grab a blaster and help us shoot our way out.
Victory through combat is impossible. We will be captured. The child will be lost. Sadly, there is no scenario where the child is saved in which I survive.
Listen, you're not going anywhere. We need you. Let's just come up
Please tell me the child will be safe in your care. If you do so, I can default to my secondary command.
But you'll be destroyed.
And you will live. And I will have served my purpose.
No. We need you.
There's nothing to be sad about. I've never been alive.
I'm not sad.
Yes, you are. I'm a nurse droid. I've analyzed your voice.
IG-11 gives the child a gentle stroke. He moves to the boat's edge.
IG!
He steps down into the lava.
What are you doing?
IG-11 walks alongside the boat as it floats with the current. The Mandalorian paces him to the bow, then watches him move out ahead. IG-11 begins to sink and melt as he approaches the mouth of the tunnel. The stormtroopers prepare for an ambush on the other side. The child watches wide-eyed.
Manufacturer's protocol dictates I cannot be captured.
The detonator appears from his chest.
I must be destroyed.
He self-destructs, taking out the entire platoon with him. The flare of fire and lava glints off the Mandalorian's armor as shrapnel rains down on the decimated Imperial soldiers, their white and black armor strewn all over the riverbanks. The ferry peacefully transports its occupants outside through the mouth of the tunnel. As the smoke clears, they get a full view of the blast's aftermath. Kara sweeps the perimeter of felled troopers with her drum blaster while they continue to float downriver. A TIE fighter streaks in from above. Piloting the ship, the cold-faced Imperial commander strafes the lava flats with blaster fire along his approach. The group on board the ferry returns fire as the enemy craft swoops back up into the sky and arcs behind a mountain.
He missed!
He won't next time.
Our blasters are useless against him.
Hey, let's make the baby do the magic hand thing. Come on, baby! Do the magic hand thing!
The child raises his hand and waves at him.
I'm out of ideas.
I'm not.
Here he comes!
The fighter moves in and out of view behind the black peaks. The Mandalorian clips his jetpack to the back of his armor as the ship swings around for another pass. Moff Gideon smiles and opens fire. Kara's heavy repeating blasts just miss the ship. The Mandalorian engages his jetpack, igniting the twin rockets as he watches the TIE fighter make its approach. Moff Gideon thumbs the trigger button on his yoke. The Mandalorian streaks into the air. Flying unsteadily, he launches a grappling cable into the TIE fighter and gets yanked violently along its weaving trajectory. He fires a burst from his jetpack and wheels himself into the cockpit canopy. Through the glass panels, Moff Gideon sees him shooting at the hatch. He takes evasive maneuvers, throwing the Mandalorian onto one of the shoulder struts as he performs a diving corkscrew. Hanging on for dear life, the uninvited passenger lets go with one hand to pull a charge off his belt, but he loses it to the wind where it explodes harmlessly. Moff Gideon jerks his yoke and dizzyingly rolls the TIE fighter sideways. The Mandalorian struggles to extract two more charges from his belt, which he successfully plants on the strut. He lets go. Gideon sees an alert. An explosion causes the ship to lose control. On the ground, the others watch as it spirals beyond the horizon. Plummeting rapidly, the Mandalorian engages his jetpack. His friends watch him come in for an ungraceful landing, which he smoothly turns into a confident strut.
That was impressive, Mando. Very impressive.
It looks like your guild rates have just gone up.
Any more stormtroopers?
I think we cleaned up the town. I'm thinking of staying around just to be sure.
You're staying here?
Well, why not? Navarro is a very fine planet. And now that the scum and villainy have been washed away, it's very respectable again.
As a bounty hunter hive?
Some of my favorite people are bounty hunters. And perhaps this specimen of soldier might consider joining our ranks.
Yeah, I've got some clerical concerns regarding my chain code.
And if you would agree to become my enforcer, clerical concerns would be the least of your worries. But you, my friend, you will be welcome back into the guild with open arms. So go off, enjoy yourself. And when you're ready to return, you will have the pick of all quarries.
The Mandalorian bends down to pick up the child, standing eagerly by his leg. He stares at the little one through his visor.
I'm afraid I have more pressing matters at hand.
Kara affectionately strokes one of the child's big, pointy ears.
Take care of this little one.
Grief does the same.
Or maybe it'll take care of you.
The Mandalorian nods a farewell to his two friends, then turns and walks away. He smoothly launches into the dusky sky. As he rockets through the atmosphere, the child peers down over his shoulder, one of his ears flapping in the wind, and watches Grief and Kara recede from view on the black lava flats. The image of his little green face wipes away from bottom to top to reveal the Mandalorian laying a stone down on a burial mound not far from his ship. As he turns and heads for the Razor Crest, the Ugnaught's leather helmet and goggles come into view, adorning one of the larger rocks. On board his ship, the Mandalorian sets the child down in his jump seat and takes the helm. He cycles through the starting sequence with his controls. His engines fire up. He looks to the child.
What do you got there?
He sees him teething on something. The Mandalorian gently pulls a shiny object from the child's mouth. It's his pendant of the Mythosaur skull.
I didn't think I'd see this again.
The child shifts his oversized ears, bats his black eyes, and reaches out one of his tiny little hands.
Why don't you hang on to that?
He gives him back the pendant, which the little one sticks into his mouth like a pacifier. The Mandalorian returns to his pre-flight sequence. The Razor Crest ascends from the black lava soil. Retracting its landing gear, it arcs around over the hills. Grief and Kara watch it fly by as they hike across the flats. The Razor Crest shrinks to a tiny dot along the horizon, leaving behind the smoldering wreckage of the crashed TIE fighter. A deep gouge in the earth leads to the half-buried Imperial craft. Jawa scavengers strip it for parts. A dark blade cuts through the hull from the inside, its edges glowing brightly. The Jawas flee. The Darksaber carves out an opening and Moff Gideon emerges. He looks around with a furious glower. Wielding his ancient Jedi weapon, he climbs up the TIE fighter's spherical cockpit. From atop the wreckage, he stands tall and searches the horizon with his black cape billowing behind him. Cut to black. Thank you. Audio description by Deluxe, funded by Disney Plus Originals, voiced by Nicole Zanzarella.